Good evening. Wonderful to be here tonight, isn't it? I don't know if you subscribe to the Focus Press email or not, but a lot of good articles come through there. You'd really enjoy it if you do not subscribe to that. One actually from back around May 2018 that caught my attention, and I'd kept it. I looked at it from time to time, but it was posted by Jack Wilkie, and it was titled, "Every Person Goes to Church Every Sunday." And so the article goes on to talk about some issues that some people might say controversial, but some, like myself, think it's well needed. I take it to heart myself. But are we sometimes, one of the points in the article, are we sometimes guilty of serving God leftovers? So leftovers are just what it says. It is whatever remains from original state after the choice portions are taken. I know someone sitting here is thinking, I like leftovers. Well, I do too, as far as food is concerned. But however, in our context tonight, leftovers are the not so important, the lesser value, the less desired. It's a lack of prioritizing of our giving of ourselves, our love, our devotion to our God. So it can be time, talents, possessions. It can be ourselves. It can be our bodies. It can be whatever we have originating from God's blessings anyway. It can be any of those things. That's our context tonight. One thing about leftovers, they're usually not fresh. Okay, they're usually maybe even lukewarm. So when we prioritize anything over our God, then we push aside him to a secondary status, as if he does not take our priority. So we are just that. We are becoming, or at least endangered, of becoming lukewarm. And so we put on Christ, and we stake claim that we are fully engaged and obedient to him as Christians, but then in reality, we only serve him whenever we serve him our remaining leftover balance of our time, or whenever it's convenient to us, we make time for him, or our devotion and attention is given only when it does not interfere with our own interest. That's the times we usually turn to him, give him priority. Most certainly, at a minimum, we're guilty of being lukewarm Christians whenever we do that, fall in that category, at the best. Our warning, we recall, is from in Revelation chapter 3. There's a warning that comes to us. And chapter 3, verse 15, where he says, "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." So God does not accept or want this condition in us to be lukewarm. We think of ourselves as many times as being independent. Maybe even question that we need God involved in our lives to some degree. So we're unwilling to understand or admit we do have a need for him. Another problem with serving leftovers is that they are not our first fruits. We have had many Bible classes here on Leviticus and Exodus and so forth, Deuteronomy, talking about first fruits and how important it was in serving God. But there's something or someone else who has already been provided the first portions when we make God secondary. So thus making God a secondary thought, we deny him the honor of being first. Do we want to be guilty of that? No, God, you're not first, you're second. I got to do this first before I come to serve you. Okay, our God has clearly established those requirements, as I said in Exodus and Leviticus, the first fruit. His expectation from us is to always provide our first fruit, provide our first fruits back to him, giving him that full honor and dedication of ourselves. If we look in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase." Okay, the article that I referenced at the start here tonight by Jack Wilkie, it mainly the focus tonight, and actually focuses mainly on Sunday attendance, but I want us to look at this and apply it to all of our gatherings, all of our assemblies. So I felt this article very worthy of review. In the article itself, it talks more about, it says, "In a world that seems busier than ever, making it to every church service might be tough." And we all had times in our lives, young children, different things. It is tough. It is tough. There are some times when you just think, "Wow, I'm not sure I can handle this." But for those who make it a priority in worship, it becomes something not to be missed, and they set it as a priority above all things. So all their priorities are set or planned only after God has been given first consideration. And then we make those secondary choices, priorities. So those doing so are rewarded by putting him in priority first to get to opportunities to develop a closer relationship to him, the better understanding of his word, the fellowship of his people, and we find comfort in our blessed assurance that we have in studying, growing closer to him. Others, however, don't seem to grasp the importance of prioritizing the assembly of saints. They think it may be quaint or needed for some, but it's not their goal, their priority. They don't understand what it's like to be in full submission. They don't understand full devotion or what dedication it takes or involves. They cheat themselves by missing these opportunities. And more importantly, and sadly enough, they cheat God of what is truly his. So obviously, I'm not talking about those who are sick or those that are infirm or those who keep away on occasion by unusual circumstances. It's those who make a habit of missing we're talking about, who do so by a choice. Had a choice to be here, but chose something else, took priority. The fact is, on those Sundays that they missed, they didn't skip church. They just worshiped another church. I mean, think about it. Something else has taken the priority, a precedence over God in their lives. And so for some, first example here, for some, the bed is their other church. Saturday night ran over with movies, friends, or whatever else was going on the night before. And Sunday morning was spent worshiping another hour of sleep. So Monday's work or school, that can't be preempted for sleep. They wouldn't want to get fired, wouldn't want to get suspended from school. And so, you know, I have to go to those, but God, secondary in their choice, suffers those consequences of that choice. Secondly, for some, their work is their church. There are certainly those who are caught in a work arrangement that doesn't allow them to be here for our gatherings, and that's understood by many. But there are those who make a choice to pursue other opportunities within their line of work or their field of work, or maybe the extra shift that they didn't really need, but they take it because they want to be there at their work. So their work becomes their choice, their church, neglecting worshiping God. The third example here is for some, that sports become their church, their other church. So whether it's the big game on TV that they're staying home for, or maybe it's the youth sports that a family's involved in, sports win out over assembling with the saints, over worshiping God. So they become a church of their own, and God takes a back seat once again. For others, fourth example here, is the leisure activities become their other church. The weather's great. It's a perfect opportunity to go fishing outside, camping, riding, except whatever it is. God is important most Sundays, but every now and then, I just need my time, some me time for myself, and I take advantage of that on Sunday morning. God will understand. Well, you just pushed God aside of what he's commanded of you and put your own priority first. So the fact is, really, that those Sundays they do miss, that they don't skip church. They didn't skip church. They just worshiped about another church. So something else did take their priority. Okay, the Old Testament made it abundantly clear that God has no interest in relationship where he isn't prioritized. We can look at Malachi chapter 1, verse 10, where God shows how he feels with his people when they're content to offer him leftovers. It says, "Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the doors, that you might not kindle fire on my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, and I will not accept an offering from your hand." And so we don't come to God with our hearts prioritized to him. He will not accept us. If God only gets the Sundays that aren't occupied by something more important, then or something you'd rather be doing, then you are definitely serving God leftovers. God loves us. He wants a relationship with us so much, loved us so much, wants a relationship with you so much that he was willing to die for you. So he's not interested in leftovers. He's interested in what type of commitment you have toward him. He sent his son to die for us. What are we going to do? Where's that put us? So which church will you attend on Sundays? Now, we have an upcoming seminar, September 13th through 15th. Brother Eric Lyons has been advertised many times. You've heard about it. The brochure is in the foyer. But a series of lessons on, is the Bible reliable? What an opportunity we have, not only to better ourselves, increase our own knowledge, but to make our friends aware, our family aware, our children aware, whatever it is. What better choice could we make than to be here? Now, obviously, you are here tonight. You make wise choices by being here. So I don't mean to actually, so to speak, preach to the choir tonight, but I want us to understand that Christians are charged with encouraging others as well, and the teaching, uplifting, admonishing of one another. So this is a big, important, big part of our assembling together, is to the fellowship and the admonishing of one another. So therefore, you've been here tonight, you can also grow stronger and influence many others to help them also. We know in Colossians 3:16, we sing songs to admonish one another. In 2 Timothy 2:15, we study, showing ourselves approved to God. We do it every time the doors are open. Our Bibles are open, but our doors are open for service to Him. So those who choose not to be part of the assembling together, they rob other Christians of this wonderful fellowship, and more importantly, robbing God. I often wonder, and what can we do to encourage better attendance? We've talked about this for years. I know the eldership, deacons, whatever. We've talked about it for years. What can we do to encourage people to make them more aware of their need to be here and to show respect of God to want to be here to God? So I actually had talked to a few respected men over the years about this, and I read a few writings, one just recently, and the response may actually be simple, more simple and straightforward than we believe. What can we do ourselves to influence others to want to attend services? So first it begins with establishing of ourselves as an example. Very first, I thought when I saw that in writing, it hit me and thought how simple that is. It starts by them seeing us. We are one who are going to be example to them. They're either going to want to be like us or they're going to want to not be like us. But if they see you attending services on a regular basis and they see the benefits you get in your life from that, it's going to rub off on them. So speak positive of your worship experience. Don't let your children hear you on the way home telling your wife, man, that's a boring class. You know, let's not be like that. Let's keep positive. Everyone you talk to and communicate, make them want to be here, okay? And do what you can to make it enjoyable for them. Teachers, prepare your lessons. Teachers, be prepared for questions. Be prepared to get your message across. That makes Bible class much more beneficial for all. Another thing was provide yourself as a resource. Make yourself one that's available to share experiences, lessons you've learned in life. Share how you established your priorities when you had younger children versus where you stand now, at what point in your life. Or, pick a mentor and talk to them. But establish yourself as a resource to others and share your established priorities and why those are your priorities. Share reasons why you attend services regularly. And then also share what you gain and what you benefit from being here. Okay, it may be that you can help an individual or family learn the values of setting higher priorities and top priorities and giving it their first fruits. So you may be the one to make a difference in their lives. So understand John 10:10. John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Who's speaking here? This is Christ speaking. He came to give me abundant life. Yeah, home in heaven, but also as I'm living as a Christian. And so getting that point across to people may be difficult for us, but we need to show them in our lives, by example, the benefits we gain by following Christ daily. It all really starts, though, with commitment, doesn't it? That's where it all begins. Each of us with our own heart must first decide to commit with Him in full obedience, set aside our own priorities, our own desire, our own wills, and make Him first. Share that greatest blessing, which is the salvation we have through His Son. Romans 4:7 says, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and those whose sins are covered. Our greatest blessing comes through Christ. So when we become obedient to Him, we see the example in Acts chapter 2, those who repent and confessed were baptized. And Acts 22, their sins were washed away. That's a debt. I'm not talking tonight. A debt covered by Christ. So, Revelation 22:14, one more verse to share with you here. Blessed are those who do His commandments that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. So I want you, please, tonight, as we stand and sing, come forward for any need that you may have.
Oh, do not let the word depart, and close thine eyes against the light. For sinner, harden not thy heart, be saved, oh, tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Wilt thou be saved? Then why not tonight? Tomorrow's sun may never rise to bless thy long deluded sight. This is the time, oh then be wise, be saved, oh tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Wilt thou be saved? Then why not tonight? Our blessed Lord refuses none who would to him their souls unite. Believe, obey, the work is done. Be saved, oh, tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Well,